If you accept that humankind is at base merely primitive, it may sweeten any distaste at my tale. I shall offer you a digestible outline. You can read the rest for yourselves, if you have the stomach, in My First 30 Years by Gertrude Beasley. It's an account of my kin, the Beasley tribe. Simply the sorriest and cruelest folk that God ever fashioned. West Texas tenant farmers constantly on the run from eviction and debt. Morality unaffordable. My siblings, merely 11 uncalled for pregnancies. My mother, who self-aborted every 12 months, regularly fended off my father's assaults with a shovel to his head. 5 of the vile brood were my brothers. Their notion of sport? To drag me to the horse stall, throw me down in the straw, or tie me screaming to a halter post. I was 4. If ever I managed to secrete myself under the floorboards to elude them, the sows and calves became their acceptable substitute. But my father would usually unearth me, kick open the loose boards, abuse me brutally, then beat the boys to blackness for their sins, who in turn came back to beat me, then the animals, as if we all, poor benighted creatures, were cast in stone-cold iron. All of them took their turn with me regularly and routinely, only deterred by my maddened mother chasing them off with a bucket or a broomstick and wailing in despair at the grossness of the creatures she had spawned. After one particularly cruel day, my mother packed our bags, picked me up off the straw, and we left, leaving them to wallow in their own filth. There was no money, so we could only slink from one back-alley dive to the next before he got wind and thundered through town to root us out and cart us back. I hid in school, heavenly, peaceable school. Bullied I may have been, but it was as nothing to what I'd borne at home. Mostly the tormentors only wanted answers anyway. How many siblings do you have? Too many. What's your father do? Fornication. Is your sister a prostitute? Guess so. Is your sister's kid your father's? Sure thing. They slid off and I got on. I was a prodigy, so one teacher said. She pushed me on, got me into teacher training and secured me a post in a local school. Teaching? A walk in the park. Discipline maintained with a nice bit of brute physicality. Ah, you do what you know. Desperate for freedom, though, I enrolled for a degree at the University of Chicago, where the campus air was just singing with the big issues of the day. Socialism, feminism, contraception. Thankfully, young men gave me a wide berth once they heard I championed equality and mutual respect. So, well and good. I prospered. 5 years as a journalist for the National Geographic and the Nation, then assignments in China, Japan and the Soviet Union, and a voyage to London to interview Bertrand Russell. I liked London's benign anonymity and I chose to stay a while. Not one of the Beasleys was ever to say, well done and we're proud. I urgently needed a name change, something, anything rather than Beasley. But just as I set about it, I got a publication offer. Printing and circulation, a tidy advance. Then, reviews, of course. All of them excoriating. The British censors had just done a hatchet job on Ulysses and Lady Chatterley's Lover, so they were well in the mood for hewing me down too. And back in my own land, I was simply knifed in the heart by my very own golden idol, Janet Flanner of the New Yorker magazine. Condemn my book as perfectly frightful, worthy only of a nauseous clandestine circulation. I was no better than a pornographer, an unspeakable Medea. Police arrived at my London lodgings and laid charges of obscenity at my door. I screamed like a banshee and smashed my own window as they tried to haul me away, just confirming their verdict of me as certifiable. Take her away to the Hospital for Lunatics, Holborn. Wake up, you've got visitors, gentlemen calling. From the US Customs Authorities. Oh, freedom? Nope, fettering, handcuffs. They frog-marched me onto a ship bound for New York Harbour. Any liberty I was ever to see again was a mere statue. And not one of those Beasleys came to meet me at the docks to claim me as theirs. My subsequent whereabouts were known to no one, even me. According to a curious researcher some 60 years later, an asylum on Long Island became my new prison, where I languished unvisited, unloved and unwell for over 30 years. At the age of 63, I was generously awarded the agonies of pancreatic cancer, which removed me at last from my endless string of living hells. Women of the world, if I have any words of value to leave you, they are these. Life may not be worth living, but it is worth talking about. Strive till the end to be heard. Gertrude Beasley, Angie Cairns.